been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday. Welcome to a new week. Welcome to earnings season. This is Bill Gunderson, and this is the Best Stocks Now show. Well, you know, we had at the open and in the futures market, we had the NASDAQ up, the Dow down, and now it's flip-flopped. You've got the Dow up actually 96 points right now to 34,968. And now the NASDAQ is to the downside. Go figure. It's down about 27 points to 14,675. Now, the NASDAQ hit a new all-time high last week, as did the S&P 500. The S&P 500 is up 5 today to 43.75. The small caps, they're not faring too well today. They're down 17 points. That's down 0.8%. Little pressure on the crude oil, downwards pressure on the crude oil markets. Crude down $1.14 today. Now that the 4th of July driving weekend is over and everything, you know, they kind of have to bring the prices down a little bit. I swear they artificially inflate oil whenever they need to. $73.42 is down $1.14 per barrel today. Gold is down $1,860. It just can't get out of its own way. It's just been hovering in that $1,700 to $1,800 area for quite some time. Silver down 21 cents to $26.02. The 10-year, soft, 1.36. It is up to bips today. And Bitcoin, down $392 per coin today to $33,556 per coin. That's where Bitcoin is at to start a new week. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, portfolio manager with Southport Capital, former CEO of Gunderson Capital Management until we merged in with Southport Capital. Well, we had a good day on Friday. You know, just when you thought the reflation stocks were giving up the ghost, they had one of their best days of the year on Friday. Now, we continue to own, 50-50 maybe, reflation and big tech or tech. That kind of seems to be where it's at these days. They kind of take turns. Tech will be hot for a couple of days, and then it'll sell off, and then the reflation stocks will come along and have a few big days. They had a monster day on Friday. The Dow was up like, almost 400 points on Friday. And most of that was coming from the financials, the Goldman Sachs of the world, the oil, the energy patch, the cyclicals, the Deers, and the Caterpillars of the world. And also the commodity stocks had a very big day, the Freeport, MacMorans, Dow Chemical, and Vail, and other ones like that. Huge day on Friday, and that's how we finished off the week. Now, this week, we have earnings season getting underway. In fact, it looks like tomorrow. Get ready. Notable earnings before Tuesday's open. So this will be before the open of the market tomorrow. J.P. Morgan, big bank stock. Struggling a bit, the bank stocks are these days with the interest rates remaining low. Pepsi will report tomorrow. Goldman Sachs will report tomorrow. That's generally a market mover. ConAgra from the grain space. Fastenal. And that's about it. I think all in all, I think we're going to have about 30 of the S&P 500 stocks reporting this week. And a little bit later in the show, I'll go through the expectations as we begin this quarter. And then we'll see whether those expectations go up, remain the same, or go down as the quarter progresses, because that also plays into the full year 2021, the full year 2022, and the full year 2023. And as I've said many, many times, stocks and indexes react and trade on future expectations. So we'll be watching those future expectations very, very closely. Another big factor going forward is going to be, of course, monetary policy. The Fed has been pretty easy in the last several years with their monetary policy. But there is now quite a bit of talk, and it's getting louder and louder, about a change to fiscal policy. Okay, that's the other big force in the economy, to tweak the economy one way or another, or to achieve, you know, different outcomes, different purposes. The G20, that's 20 countries around the world, moves forward on a global minimum tax plan after many years of discussions and building on the progress made last year. The G20 has achieved an historic agreement on a more stable and fairer international tax architecture. Financial leaders from the G20 said in a communique on Saturday. The group was meeting in Venice, Italy. Well, Italy was winning the soccer Europe Cup, weren't they, over the weekend, with Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen representing the U.S. Now, she's very big on tax, global minimum tax, raising the corporate tax, a fairer system, companies paying their so-called fair share. Next steps include work on key details and then a final decision at the GT gathering of presidents and prime ministers scheduled for October 30th in Rome. So, yeah, okay, well, there's going to be a lot of talk, a lot of back and forth. Now, why does this matter? Well, because it ties in with my previous statement that stocks and indexes trade on future earnings expectations. Now, if a company like McDonald's, all of a sudden one of the main ingredients, beef, went up by 15% or 8% or 7% or whatever, wouldn't that hit the bottom line of earnings? Absolutely. And if a company all of a sudden has a global minimum tax to pay, and they've been paying a lesser rate than that in the past, well, that's going to impact their earnings. Now, I haven't seen any studies yet of what a global minimum tax of 15% would do to the S&P 500. I'm waiting for one of the big guys like Goldman Sachs or J.P. Morgan or Credit Suisse or somebody like this to come out with such a study. We know what the lowering of the corporate tax from 28 to 21% did to the S&P 500 earnings. It raised them by about 15 or 20%. That's why I would say, you know, if you're going to raise that corporate tax from 21 back up to 28, you're looking at about a 15 to 20% hit to earnings. But the global minimum tax is another issue entirely. I got to believe it would even be a bigger hit to earnings, because all of a sudden there's been this pivot away from raising the corporate tax to this global minimum tax. I got to believe it's going to raise more money, or people like Janet Yellen would not be yelling across the globe to implement it. So we'll see. I mean, it's still, there's a lot of obstacles. You've got several European countries that continue to object to the minimum taxing. It would remove a tool for encouraging foreign investment. Well, remember Ireland, they lowered their corporate tax to draw in investment into Ireland. Among other countries, Hungary, Estonia, which all need to be encouraged to sign up to the deal by October. Right now they're not on board. Resistance from any EU nation could prevent the 27-member bloc from going ahead with the plan, or at least force the bloc to resort to novel legal maneuvers that have yet to be tested. Other obstacles. Well, we'll talk about those when we come back. But we've got to watch this very, very closely, because it's part of my Scenario A and Scenario B going forward for our target price for the S&P 500. More on that when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, if I early going here, I have looked at quite a few charts. My observation right now would be I'm really seeing a firming up of the reflation stocks, such as basic materials, industrials, financials, maybe even the auto sector a little bit here. The Dow is still up about 100, and at the same time, the NASDAQ, where I'm not finding much there, maybe just a little bit of activity so far in the semiconductor equipment stocks. Pretty dull day, though, to start a new week. The 30-year Treasury is hovering right at 2% right now. That has been support. I have a hard time seeing interest rates going any lower. The 10-year's at 1.35, and that looks to be a support level too. We'll see, but I would think that maybe you've seen the bottom here in interest rates, but they could stay down here for quite some time. We'll just have to watch that going forward. Now, coming back to this tax situation, because that could take 15 to 20% out of the S&P 500, but a lot of obstacles remain in the way. Well, I talked about the obstacles over in Europe. You've got several companies or countries in the European Union, which counts as one of the G20, is the European Union itself, which represents a lot of individual countries. And you've got several that aren't on board for this global minimum tax. And then here in the U.S., the tax could run into opposition where Janet Yellen needs to sell the deal to Congress. Now, here's the rub. The changes could require the U.S. Senate to alter existing tax treaties. Well, you say that should be no problem. I mean, the Democrats control the Senate. Yes, but to alter an existing tax treaty would take a two-thirds vote of the Senate and at least some GOP support. I think that's a pretty big obstacle. Republicans have already expressed opposition to any rise in taxes, while some lawmakers have condemned the idea of ceding taxing authority to other governments. Well, you know, I remember a Revolutionary War when Britain started taxing things in the U.S. or what, the colonies, and didn't go over real big. So anyways, you've also got business groups complaining that higher taxes could threaten the economic recovery as the American companies navigate their way out of the coronavirus pandemic. Well, it's pretty obvious that this is more about politics and ideology than being good for the economy, because it would not be good for the economy. Nevertheless, we need to keep our eye on this, because it could have a big impact on the S&P 500's earnings and target price going forward. Well, I'm sure you've seen the videos by now. Richard Branson, 70-year-old founder of Virgin Galactic, rode the VSS Unity into the lower reaches of space on Sunday morning, following a 17-year quest towards a suborbital space tourism. He's already got a bunch of people lined up at $250,000 to $500,000 a pop to take a little ride around the Earth suborbit. And in the meantime, you know, the stock, Virgin Galactic, the symbol is space. I don't know. Would you invest in Virgin Galactic? Well, it has been a hot stock. It's a $10 billion company. You know, by contrast, Delta Airlines, which flies people all over the world, is a $27 billion company. Seems to me like it's a little bit overpriced, but I guess there's the sex appeal to it. And right behind Branson comes Bezos with his Blue Origin. He's going to take his own ride to space next week, while Elon Musk has been in a class of his own by concentrating on the orbital arena and beyond via SpaceX. Well, Branson believes there's a market to carry as many as 2 million people on suborbital space flights priced in the $250,000 to $500,000 range, meaning a $1 trillion market at the upper level. I don't know. I'm not going to be investing in Virgin Galactic. You know, he's had a lot of ideas over the years. I still remember when I lived in California for many years, and I remember when the Bay Area and then San Francisco was one of the great cities of the world to visit. I still remember his Virgin Atlantic, his big store. He had a big Virgin Music, right, store, and it had videos and music and an escalator and several stores and or floors and everything. That didn't pan out so well. He also, didn't he have a supersonic plane, too, for a while? Well, you got to give the guy credit, Branson, 70 years old, flying into space. Well, we're going to watch this week earnings estimates. Okay, let's take a look at what... Let's get the beginning number here of what we're expecting. Now, this is for the second quarter of this year, which is already done. It ended on June the 30th, and now we're going to start to see the companies report how they did. Now, this will be compared with the second quarter of last year, which if you go back a year ago to the second quarter, that was the March 30th to June 30th, 2020, right in the heart of COVID. So this year's comparable quarter, here's the beginning point. Earnings are expected to go up for the S&P 500 64% versus the same quarter last year. That's earnings. Sales are expected to go up 19.7% versus the same comparable quarter last year. Now, we will watch as this earnings season progresses. I can tell you that the previous quarter, the first quarter of this year, we started out at one number, and we ended up at a much higher number by the time the quarter was over. As companies reported their earnings and reported their sales for the first quarter of this year, that number went up almost on a weekly basis, and it far exceeded the original estimate. That's why I'm laying down a marker here of where that original estimate is. Remember, 64% is what we're expecting in earnings growth versus the same comparable quarter last year, and 19.7% in revenue or sales. The forward P.E. ratio, a lot higher this year than it was last year. 23 is the forward P.E. ratio of the S&P 500. What's the 10-year average? 16.2. We're at 23. thanks to a very, very, very generous Fed. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show. Yeah, I continue to see a lift here to the reflation stocks after a huge day on Friday, one of the best days of the year for the reflation trade, which started to take over the market back in mid-February of this year as money rotated out of the high tech, the high growth stuff into the reflation. Then reflation's had its sell-offs recently, but really, really looking good here, firming up quite a bit. If I was to call out one sector or one area of the market today that's really shining the brightest, it would be the lithium stocks. And we have a big position in a lithium stock. Look at the ETF LIT, L-I-T, which is the lithium ETF, $4.1 billion in that ETF. That thing is up 3.9% today. The lithium LIT ETF, one of the strongest sectors in the market, along with some other basic material types of stocks, and the financials look to be pretty strong as we're on the eve of Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, others reporting tomorrow. Okay, we do have a breakthrough today in the biotech sector, and this is a company called Celldex. CLDX is up 30% today. The company updated early-stage trial data indicating 95% effectiveness with the two most common forms of chronic inducible urticaria, a skin condition. Well, it's otherwise known as hives. That's no fun. Let me scratch my elbow here. We got Celldex up 30% today, CLDX. It's a $1.7 billion company, but a nice breakout today on good news for those that suffer from hives. Only out of California, all right? Every day there's a story coming out of California where you would say, you know, this probably wouldn't happen in any other state. Built to decriminalize psychedelics. Advances in California, I'm sure the Haight-Ashbury area, deadheads, you know, magic mushrooms is where that comes from. They want to decriminalize psychedelic substances. It's passed the California State Senate on a 21-16 vote. Senate Bill 519 would allow those aged 21 years and older to possess psilocybin, magic mushrooms for personal use. Can you use them on pizza, sausage and mushroom pizza, and social sharing? Here, have a mushroom. Chewy, First Solar, make Piper Sandler's top 20 short squeeze list. Okay, this is always a fun list to look at. This is the list that Wall Street Bets, you know, they made some money earlier this year with GameStop, okay, VMware, VMW, IIVI, BigCommerce, BIGC, Meridian Biosciences, Vivo, Twist Biosciences, TWSD. These are the most heavily shorted stocks in the market. Lemonade, you know, when life gives you lemons, short lemonade. It's at $103 a share. It's got a 21% short squeeze. Well, a lot of puns here that I could use here, the short squeeze on lemonade. SunPower, That's a green stock. First Solar's got a big short interest. Continental Resources, an oil stock at 15%. Vroom, another one, VRM. And Chewy, CHWY. Those are the most heavily shorted stocks as we begin. Speaking of shorting, the Chinese stocks, I continue to watch those things really fall apart. Who's their worst enemy? Chinese government. Tencent Music stock slips as Chinese antitrust regulators ask the company to give up exclusive music rights. You know what? They have just targeted one company right after another. You saw what happened to Didi last week, DIDI, which is the Chinese version of Uber. Massive company. All of a sudden, you've got China in a war on capitalism and their own stocks. And these stocks just look awful right now. Alibaba, I see articles every day on Seeking Alpha. You got to buy Alibaba here. Well, they said that 2 weeks ago. They said that a month ago. They said that 3 months ago, and it keeps going lower. I'm waiting for something good to happen. Every once in a while, you'll get a little bounce in these stocks, and they start to look interesting. But you just got to wonder. You've got that extra political risk in those Chinese stocks, and you've had a few scandals that have really tainted the Chinese market. Tesla is raising their Model S and Model X prices by $5,000. Well, $5,000 may not sound like much, but that brings the base price of a Model S up to $75,000. Of course, they put it at $74,990. It's really not $75,000. Take another $10 to hit that. But it sounds better than $75,000. You know, you can buy a lot of gas for $75,000. I'm just saying. And the Model X, $79,000. I'm calling it $80,000. I'm adding $10. $80,000 for a Model X. Now, that's just your base price. That's, like I say, a lot of gas. Tesla's Elon Musk goes to trial. You remember, that seemed like a phony deal to me. His Solar City was not doing well. It needed capital. It needed money. It was losing money. So he had his company, Tesla, which is a car company, buy Solar City. $2.6 billion purchase. And a lot of people at the time, including shareholders, said, wait a minute. Why do I want to own a losing solar company with my Tesla stock? Well, Musk argued that it made perfect sense. It was a no-brainer. Well, it was a no-brainer for him because Solar City needed the money. But did it hurt Tesla's holders? Well, there's a big lawsuit taking place. And Musk is going to go to trial. I think it's in Delaware. Yes, in the Delaware Court of Chancery, Elon Musk will testify about the deal. You know, he benefited wildly from it. Musk owned 22% of Tesla's common stock at the time of the transaction, and he owned 22% of Solar City. So did he do it to benefit Elon Musk? Or did he do it to benefit the shareholders? Well, in the meantime, he's going to build a community in Austin, Texas. He's teamed up with Brookfield Asset Management and real estate developer DACRA. They're going to work together towards creating the most sustainable residential community in the U.S. Will they have solar smokers for their brisket? That's what I want to know. Austin, Texas, one of the brisket capitals of the world. The company says the initiative in Austin will be the first Tesla solar neighborhood. Well, you can live in a Tesla neighborhood. And one last area of the market that I would mention here, because it's in the news and those stocks are really doing well right now, the cybersecurity software stocks. There's several ETFs that focus on those. HACK is one, H-A-C-K. I see Microsoft is buying a cybersecurity firm. Now, the reason I bring that up, the cybersecurity stocks trade at a much higher multiple than your average software stocks, which I guess you could say Microsoft trades more at those average desktop software types of multiples. Well, if it buys a big cybersecurity firm, RiskIQ, will we see an expansion in the multiple to Microsoft? Well, it's something to think about. You know, Microsoft has been on a tear. That's one of the tech stocks that I did not sell during the February tech bashing. It was mostly the really high growth tech stocks that were really clobbered back in February. And Microsoft has been hitting new all-time highs recently. And now maybe, who knows, with the purchase of a cybersecurity stock, maybe we'll see a little expansion in the multiple. When we come back, we'll talk about our favorite, well, not favorite, we'll talk about our featured stock of the day today. This is Bill Gunderson. This is the Best Stocks Now show. Welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, the market, the Dow up 93, the S&P up 9, and seeing strength in the reflation stocks. The Nasdaq's down 3. In fact, the oil stocks, which opened up the day to the downside, are now up a little. And the basic material stocks also having a pretty good day. The financials also having a pretty good day on the eve of what will be the new earnings season, where we'll get earnings tomorrow from J.P. Morgan. Goldman Sachs, the expectations for this quarter, we'll keep track of this, 64% higher earnings this quarter than the same comparable quarter last year, and 19.7% higher sales revenues than the same comparable quarter last year. Well, I mentioned that one of the areas of the market that is really shining today, lithium. The lithium stocks are blasting off. You got one here that we own. It's a $13 billion market cap company, one of the biggest lithium producers in the world. Pays a little dividend, 0.3%. Let me see. We own it, I think. I know we own it in our dividend and growth portfolio. Let me see if we own it in our premium. Yes, we do. Also in our growth portfolio, because it's expected to grow at a very rapid rate in the future. A company that is headquartered in Chile. Now, it's had some issues because there's been some tough politics down in Chile and a lot of controversy there. But Sociedad Química y Minera is SQM. That's a lot easier to say, SQM. SQM is a Chilean producer of specialty fertilizers, iodine, industrial chemicals, and other products sold worldwide, including lithium. And of course, Chile has one of the biggest deposits, has one of the biggest, I think 20% of all the lithium in the world is headquartered in Chile, something like that. Well, SQM is looking for 102% growth in earnings this year, 180% growth in earnings next year, and over the next 5 years, the current analyst consensus estimate is for about annual growth of around 30% per year. And that is because of, you know, the expanding demand. You've got the companies around the world, you know, that continue to drill for oil and bring it to the refineries to make gasoline for all of the gasoline-powered engines. Well, now you need lithium to power the electric vehicle. Now, lithium is a commodity. It ebbs and flows with supply and demand. Lithium has definitely cooled off as far as, you know, explosive price appreciation. But now it seems like the supply-demand equation is a little bit more in balance, and you're seeing the lithium stocks all of a sudden take off. Well, if we look at the valuation of SQM, I show it trading at a forward PE of 26, but that compares with a 30% expected growth rate. So in reality, it's trading at a discount to its growth rate. The PEG ratio comes in at 0.82. When I do my five-year valuation on the stock, I get $95.82. It's currently trading at $49.84. So that gives it some pretty good upside potential. But, you know, again, it's a commodity stock. Fertilizer's a commodity. Iodine's a commodity. Lithium's a commodity. They ebb and flow with supply and demand, but right now that is favoring the demand side of the equation. As far as momentum goes, this stock has been dead in the water for about 2 months. I almost pulled the plug on it a few times, but now all of a sudden it's in a pretty nice upwards number two uptrend, which began back in the middle of May. So you're about 3 months into this uptrend that it's currently in. But what I like about it today is you've got a breakout. You've got the stock breaking above its 50-day and its 200-day moving average with a really nice move here. It's up 4% today, and we've now gone positive for the day here at Gunderson Capital. And SQM, one of our larger holdings, is helping us do that. So we'll make SQM our featured stock of the day. Well, tonight's the Home Run Derby. Tomorrow's the All-Star Game. Those are the best of the best of the best players taking the field tomorrow night. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I consider myself to be a general manager of five different portfolios where I want to put the very best of the best on the field at any given point in time, depending on, you know, world conditions, market conditions, interest rate atmosphere, fiscal policy, monetary policy, growth, demand. New companies coming on stream, you know, it goes on and on and on. But my goal is to always have the best players on the field that I possibly can. That's what it takes to be an active manager versus just picking an index. I could pick three indexes and go fishing, you know, check on them every 3 months. That's what a lot of people in our industry do. God bless them. I couldn't do that. I love what I do. I love the thrill of the chase, the thrill of the hunt, that effort to always try to stay ahead of the market and to protect on the downside, okay? That's also very important. I look at that as a very important part of what I do as a money manager, as a veteran of a 79% sell-off in the NASDAQ, a 53% sell-off in the S&P 500 in 08 and 09. I also try to look out and may give up a little upside in protecting that downside, but I think it's worth it in the long run. Now, we haven't had a big bear market for quite some time. You got to go back to 08, 09. We've had a 13-year bull market. The average bull market's more in the 7 to 8 year range. So, you know what? That's why we always got to keep our eye in the rearview mirror also. Now, if you'd like to talk to us about active management versus passive management, 855-611-BEST. And if you'd like to take a look at the weekly newsletter that I put out every week for the last 21 years, GundersonCapital.com. That's GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.